So you see a slide up there. That's a picture of someone who's shoplifting. And so we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit this morning, and specifically spiritual gifts. You may wonder why we have that slide up. Well, you'll see in a minute. So people have studied shoplifting, and they have found that 1 in 11 people will shoplift during their lifetime. So it's fairly common. And it's been found that shoplifters usually don't commit other crimes. They tend to kind of stick with shoplifting. And they've also found that the average shoplifter, that if he sees you drop a $20 bill, he'll probably pick it up and give it back to you. So kind of interesting. And so it kind of seems like it's a common crime. It's usually the only criminal activity that they're engaging in, and they actually might even give you back your 20 if you drop it. So it doesn't seem that bad, right? But when you add it all up, shoplifting costs stores over $13 billion per year. So it adds up. Adds to the price of everything. So what does shoplifting have to do with a sermon about spiritual gifts? That's a good question. So I want you to think about spiritual gifts for a minute. And a spiritual gift is something that God gives you at salvation or after salvation. And God gives you a gift, and He expects you to use that gift in the church, to give your gift to the church. And so we know with shoplifting is basically when you take something out of a store that you're not supposed to take out because you haven't paid for it. And with your spiritual gift, you've been given something that you're supposed to put in to the church. So I was like, well, if one's called shoplifting, what is it called if you get a gift, but then you don't put it into the church? So I was trying to think of an interesting name for that. So shoplifting is taking something out, but what if you got something and you refuse or don't put it in? What's that called? So I went to our local phrase spinner extraordinaire, Rick Wynn. I said, Rick, what is it called if you don't put something in? And this is what Rick came up with. First one, grand. So see the phrase is spinning. So Rick said it's called grand spiritual larceny. Woo, that sounds bad, doesn't it? And then Rick had another suggestion. He said it could also be called spiritual fraud with intent to neglect. So we see it's pretty bad. Sounds pretty bad. Something we want to avoid, right? So hopefully you can see kind of the point we're trying to make by shoplifting. So we could be kind of guilty of a crime if we have a gift and we don't put it in where we're supposed to. So this morning we're going to be looking at what are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? What is God's purpose in giving each of us individual believers spiritual gifts? And how can you tell which gift you have? And then how can we use them effectively the way we're supposed to? So first, let's talk about spiritual gifts. Let's talk about what are spiritual gifts. A lot of times on spiritual gifts, we go to extremes where we just focus on one certain gift or elevate certain gifts, or we tend to sometimes just kind of downplay them. And so we're going to be looking at them this morning. So the gifts of the Spirit reminds us that there is a diverse set of gifts that the Holy Spirit wants to give to the church. And so He's going to give you, as a believer, one or more gifts. So you may hear me say it in the singular, that you have a gift, but just know that it could be more than one. It could be gifts, plural. So in the Scriptures, we have five passages that talk about spiritual gifts. Four of them are by Paul, and one of them is by Peter. And none of these lists are exactly identical. And so we're going to look at the first passage here this morning and just kind of look at what are spiritual gifts. And we see 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7, that tells us there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So different gifts, all from the one Holy Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are different diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So we can see there's diverse gifts that the Holy Spirit is going to give to us as believers in this body. Every believer will be given one or more spiritual gifts. And we see there's a diversity of gifts. And we see that those gifts can play out in a diversity of ministry and in a diversity of different activities. Okay, so a gift isn't necessarily a position in the church. It is a spiritual, God-given ability that God has given to you through the Holy Spirit. And we see the purpose there, that it is given to each one for the profit of all. So your gift is given to you, but you are to put it into the church, to put it into action for the profit of other people. And so we can see that God is working in you, and God wants to use you in the body. And when we think about what Jesus Christ is doing, Jesus Christ said, I will build my church. So if you wonder what Jesus Christ is doing right now, what is he focused on? Where is Christ spending his efforts? He is focused on building his church. So when we think about where we spend our time, where we spend our efforts, if we think about what Jesus is focused on, that should really kind of clue us in to what we should be doing. He is building his church. And so with spiritual gifts, he has given you a gift so that you will have a part in building up the church. So you have been given a gift to build up the church of Jesus Christ. And we see, again, diversities of gifts, diversities of ministries and activities. So it's not a copycat world. It is God uniquely giving you as an individual a gift to work as he will lead and give you opportunities, different activities, different ministries. Okay, I'd like to look at another verse as we just kind of look at what spiritual gifts are. So 1 Peter 4:10-11, and that one tells us, as each one, each individual has received a gift, minister it to one another. So you're commanded to put your gift into action in the church. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. So again, each believer, you have received one or more gifts. And God is calling on you to minister it and to put it into action in the body. And we see also how he tells us to do it with the ability which God supplies. So a spiritual gift is a God-given ability, a divine ability, a supernatural ability that God is entrusting you with to play a part in building up the body of Christ. And we see that Christ gets the glory and the dominion forever and ever. So this building project that Christ is engaged in, this building project of the church, this is an eternal project. It's going to stand for eternity. Jesus Christ is going to have the dominion, and his church is going to be standing with him in glory forever. So when you are putting your efforts, time into building Christ's church, you're participating in an eternally valuable, eternally durable, eternally significant building project. And so hopefully you can see why I chose to kind of highlight shoplifting with spiritual gifts. So if you're not using your spiritual gifts, the church is going to suffer. It's going to make a difference. So when you disengaged from church or when you're not here, where you're not participating, things aren't happening because you're not here. It's just not that you get to take the day off and enjoy yourself. There's a deficit of things that are happening because you're not here. And God intends to use you. So others are hurting if you are not using your gift. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 tells us not to quench the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is working in you and has gifted you and wants to use you in building the church. So what are the spiritual gifts? So let's look at some of the spiritual gifts that are in the Scripture. So we'll look at a list. We're going to look at a partial list. There's some spiritual gifts that the Bible talks about that we will not cover this morning because we're going to talk about them next week. There seems to be a set of gifts that is most prevalent in sustaining and growing the church today. So we're going to focus today on the gifts that sustain and build the church. Your gift that God wants you to use to help sustain the church and to grow the church. And next week, we'll look at gifts that were very prevalent when the church was being established, before they even had a New Testament. So what are the spiritual gifts? Well, we're going to list them. We're going to talk about them fairly quickly. First of all, we see the gift of service or ministry. That's the ability to identify and care for needs. We see teaching, a gift that allows you to study and organize and explain the truth of God's Word. Exhortation is a special gift where you encourage others and you motivate and you help others respond to truth. Also, giving, providing material resources or material things or money to help others, to help the church. Leadership would be a divine ability to set direction and purpose for a group, keeping a team unified and motivated. Mercy, the ability to empathize and engage in acts of compassion. Faith, and faith is a spiritual gift, is having a vision for something that God wants to be done and the ability to trust Him for it. So you kind of have a divinely given ability to see kind of potential in things and to really trust God to work in that way. Administration or helps, the ability to enhance the effectiveness of the ministry of others. And so how important is that to have so many things go into a Sunday morning service? From the nursery to the child care to the grow kids to the sound techs, okay, to the announcements, to the greeters, to people who prepare the bulletins, the announcements. So many things go into helping to enable the ministry of others. Administration, steering a church towards achieving its goals by managing its affairs. Evangelism, being an unusually effective instrument in leading unbelievers to a knowledge of Christ. A shepherd or a pastor. And remember, this is the gift, not the position. The gift of being a shepherd or pastor is to personally lead and nourish and protect and care for a group of believers. So that might be maybe in a small group leader might have that gift. Or maybe someone who's leading a ministry might have that type of gifting. So it doesn't mean you have the title of pastor. So those are the gifts that seem to be really present and active today in sustaining and growing the church. So those are the gifts today, and you probably have at least one, maybe more, of these gifts. And a spiritual gift, again, is a supernatural ability to serve in a given way. So the Holy Spirit is placed in you or can be working to create in you, to gift you in these certain areas of ministry, which are so important to building up the church. So these are the things that God has given you that He wants you to put in the church. And I'd also like to talk for a second about what are spiritual gifts not, because sometimes it's helpful to talk about what something's not. Okay, spiritual gifts are not your natural talents. You get your natural talents, you're born with them. God gave them to you through your parents, usually. Spiritual gifts are given to you at or after salvation, and they're given to you by the Holy Spirit for the purpose of building up the church. Your natural gifts generally benefit really all of mankind. But your spiritual gifts are specifically for building up the body of Christ. Spiritual gifts are not an office. So you don't want to think of a spiritual gift as a certain title that you get. Or that to use a spiritual gift, you have to have the title or a position or a formal office. So don't think that you need a formal designation to use your gift. A spiritual gift is something that God has put into you, not a title that you're given. Spiritual gifts are not fruit. We have the fruit of the Spirit. We'll talk about that on a different Sunday. Fruit has to do with character. A spiritual gift has to do with special ability and gifting for service, unique service. Spiritual gifts are not rewards for good behavior. They're gracious gifts given to you by grace by the Holy Spirit. And lastly, spiritual gifts are not an excuse to not do something. Because some people say, well, that's not my gift. I don't want to do that. You know, my gift is like this little thing right here, and I just do this little thing. And all this other stuff, that's not my gift. I don't want to do it. So it's not an excuse to say, no, I don't have to follow God in these areas. I don't have to obey God, or I don't have to trust God, or I don't have to venture out in these areas because this is my gift over here. So they're not an excuse to say no. Okay, so that's what the gifts are. And that's what the gifts are not. And so how do we know what gifts that we have? Okay, that's a good question, because as you think about that list, you're like, I wonder which ones I have. So let's talk about some different ways you might know what your gifts are. And I think we really have to stop and talk about a couple of foundational issues. Because I know in my life, I've heard different things, and I've tried to respond in certain ways, not really having a good understanding of things. And I'll just give an example from my personal life. When I was a new believer, I listened to some evangelism training by a guy named Ray Comfort. And Ray Comfort is good in some things, and I think he's not as good in other areas of evangelism. But he's very good on using the law to bring about a conviction of sin. Very, very instructive in that area. But one of the things he said was that if you're not out sharing the gospel, then you might not even be saved. Or you're probably not even saved. So that if you're not evangelizing, you're not saved. And so, of course, to me, I heard it like, if you're not evangelism, then you're not saved. So you better, I want to be evangelizing just to be sure that I'm saved. Because I don't want to take any chances. And so I thought, man, I've got to go evangelizing to prove I'm saved. I didn't even have a good understanding of salvation, hardly. I was just still learning so many things. But I thought, man, I got to go do it. And some guys, some brave souls in the church were just going and knocking on doors. Super cold evangelism, door-to-door knocking evangelism. And so like, well, they're going. I got to prove I'm saved. I don't know how else to do evangelism. That's what they're doing. I'm going to go knock on doors. So I went. I was scared to death. I didn't really even know what I was going to say. I just know that I had to go do it so I could prove I was saved. And so that was really my understanding. So you can imagine it didn't go too well. Okay. And so I'd like to talk about a couple of concepts that I think are very, very important in understanding your spiritual gifting. Basically, before you can really think about your spiritual gifts, I think it's very helpful just to be what I call grounded in grace. And that's just to be sure of your salvation. Just to know that you're going to heaven. and to know it. And to know that when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, what He did for you on that cross, when He died for your sins, paid your penalty in full, paid for all of your sins, past, present, and future, sins paid for. As the Scriptures say in John, I think it's 1:27, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He does that when we believe in Him. So when you know that when you have believed in Christ, that your sins are paid for, past, present, and future, and that once you put your faith in Jesus Christ's death and His resurrection proves it to you that He can give you eternal life, when you've done that, you're saved. You're saved not by any merit of your own or works of religious activities or promising to do better or try harder. You're saved simply by putting your faith in what Jesus Christ has already done for you when He died on that cross and paid for your sins. And so when you understand and you see the truth of eternal security, that when you put your faith in Christ as your Savior, you are eternally secure. That means you cannot lose your salvation. Because Christ has saved you and He saved you to the uttermost. And you are born again as a child of God. And you can't lose that. And that's the teaching of eternal security. Because God wants you to know that when you trust Christ, you are eternally safe and secure in Jesus Christ. He wants you to be secure. Because He knows when you are secure in your relationship with Him, then you're going to grow. If you are not secure, you're going to be worried about if God likes you, if God accepts you. You may feel like you're on probation. And it's pretty hard to go out and start doing work when you're so worried about if God really has accepted you. And so I'd like to just give you a couple images that may help you. And so we see the baby monkey and a baby kitten. And these are two pictures of salvation and security. And you have to decide if you're a baby monkey or are you a baby kitten. Now, the baby monkey, he has to hold on to his mom. He has to try really hard to stay safe by squeezing onto his mom's back. Now the baby kitten, the mom is holding on to the baby kitten. That baby kitten, if the baby kitten lets go, guess what? Safe and secure. Because that mama kitten, she has her teeth stuck in the scruff of his neck. She ain't letting go. So as believers in Jesus Christ, you are a baby kitten. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, God grabbed onto you. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Double. It's actually a double grip. Didn't have a good picture of that one. So if something goes wrong in your life, guess what? God has you safe, secure, safe and sound forever. He is not letting go of you. But if you're a baby, you feel like a baby monkey and you feel like, I've got to hang on. I've got to do all these things so God will accept me and God, so I can stay saved. Or so, you know, maybe I just need to hang on and try harder, do better. And you're trying to hang on for dear life. Okay? It's hard to be of service to God if you're just trying to hang on for dear life, so to speak. So when you see and you're convinced that you are a baby kitten and that God has you, and then you have what's called assurance of salvation. Assurance of salvation is when you know you're saved and you're just, I know it. I am assured of my salvation. I am at peace. I'm moving on to other things. I'm moving on to serving God. I'm moving on to serving other people because I am at peace about myself and my relationship with God because of Jesus Christ. Because He's sufficient. He got it all done. And so when you have assurance, then you're in a place where you can really serve. And then all of a sudden your gifting can blossom. And I like to use another picture here. We see a picture of a little plant. The first thing that comes out of that plant is the roots. You don't get to see growth right at first. So if you were to look at that spot in the dirt, you'd say, there's nothing going on there. It's a dud seed. There's growth going on. You're just not seeing the growth. It's putting its roots down. So first the roots. You put your roots down into Jesus Christ. You put your roots down knowing that He loves you, that He saves you, that you're secure. And then when you put those roots down, automatically the shoot starts growing. So first we've got the root, then we've got the shoot, and then finally we get to the fruit. And so what we're really talking about here in using your gifts is we're talking about you being fruitful in service to the Lord. You being fruitful by walking with faith and God's gift coming to the surface and coming into action in your life. So I told you about my experience with evangelism, and that was my first experience, and it was terrible. It was awful. And then something happened, and then I actually got trained. First of all, I got grounded in grace. I got training to ground me in grace, and I had a much more of an appreciation of Jesus Christ. And I saw how finished things were, and that I was complete in Him because there's nothing left to do because He saved me. And I saw, I understood eternal security, and then I had assurance of my salvation, and then I really started to grow. And then a couple things happened. Then I was equipped in evangelism. And then I also had a message. I had something to share because I understood the gospel personally. And so now, many of you know that Alan Ewald and I do a lot of evangelism. And we actually need to get out to Bussey's soon. And it seems like I have a gift for evangelism. I just enjoy it. I don't get tired when I do it. I just enjoy it. You know, an hour goes by in 5 minutes, you know. And I had that gift, but at first, it didn't seem like it. So I think sometimes it takes a little time, takes some grounding, takes a little time, and then your gifting can come to the surface. So let's talk about gifting and, again, how you can discover your gifting. So be grounded is one thing. Here's another way. And the Scriptures don't really give you a formula for how to determine your gifting. The Scriptures don't take you through a process and you come out the other side with your gifts. They don't do that. Now, you can go by forms or checklists, and they'll ask you 100 questions, and then they'll spit out your spiritual gifts. So those may be helpful, maybe not. But God does have a foolproof way of helping you find your gifting. And it's amazingly simple. And if we could look at the next slide. So we have over here, we have gifts on the left-hand column. Gifts given to some, ministering, exhortation, giving, teaching, showing mercy, faith, evangelism. And on the other side, we have commands given to all. And you can see that we all have commands to minister, to exhort, to give, to teach, to show mercy, to have faith, and evangelize. So you are commanded to do these things anyhow. Regardless of your gifting, God says, go do these things. And then if you obey and you go out and do these things, guess what? You're out doing them. And then your gifts can, in a sense, bubble up to the surface. So God says, go do these things. Go. And then as you go and you do these things, you may discover that, wow, I really enjoy this. Or that, man, this is, I really want to do this more. Or I really want to learn to do this better. Or I have some ideas over here to how to do this. So as you go and just do the basics, And God's commanding all these believers to do these things. And we think, well, those are gifts. That's just gifted people are supposed to do those areas. No, we're all to do these things out of faithfulness and obedience. And then as we do, then we can discover specific areas where we have gifting. So what are some other ways you can determine your gifting? Well, you can look at your interests. What ministries are you interested and attracted to? Because it makes sense. If God's going to give you a gift, that He's going to give you some desire to go with it. And that desire may surface over time. And as you go try things, and that desire can surface or resonate with a certain area of ministry. So in what areas of church life do you desire to make things better? So maybe say like, man, we could do this over here. We could do that over there. That might be an indication of your gifting kind of kicking in, where you have ideas on how to help or make things better, areas where you can serve. Especially if it's something that you can do to help instead of just making everyone else do it. You know, I have an idea of what you should do. So just getting involved in different ministries and participating in the activities of the church. And when you do that, you kind of rub shoulders with people. And that's good, because when you rub shoulders with people and you're out ministering and serving the Lord, then other people can give you insights on what they maybe recognize as some of your gifts. And they might say, hey, I'm really noticing you're very effective at that. Or, wow, when you did that, you did a really great job. And they can kind of help just point you in the right direction on some of your gifting. So that's another benefit of being involved in activities and rubbing shoulders with people in the church, is discovering your gifting. And you can pray and ask God to show you your gifting. And so let's talk now about putting your gift into action. So we've seen what gifts are. We've looked at the lists of them. We've looked at how to discover them. And let's talk about how to put them into action. The scriptures actually talk more about how to use your gift the right way than they do talking about the gifts themselves or about how you find your gift. They talk a lot more about using it appropriately. And so if you think about where these passages occur in the scriptures, so some of the primary spiritual gift passages, we've got them listed right up here. So in these passages, you'll usually see something, and that should say unity. It just says unit, but it should be unity. There is a passage that reminds you of the unity of the body. So God has made it very clear when He talks about spiritual gifts, He puts something right in front of it where He talks about unity. We are all on the same team. We're working for the same purposes, under the same leadership, Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit wants to make the spiritual things practical in your daily life. And we're all on the same team through the Holy Spirit to practically serve one another in the body. You are reminded of unity. And then He talks about your spiritual gift to be used for the unity and the good of the whole body. And to not partition the body into this group and that group and my favorite people and my not favorite people. Unity of the body. And then you're reminded of the diversity of the body. We're to respect the differences. And we're to have a beautiful unity and diversity, which is something you see in the Bible. The world tries to copy it. The world tries to copy these things. And they always end up hurting people when they do it. But we in the Bible, we have a way of having unity and diversity and respecting and honoring both. And the world doesn't have a way to honor and respect unity and diversity. And then you see verses that talk about maturity, how to maturely use your gift. So verses that talk about the gifts, they're very much embedded in an overall context of unity and remembering unity, honoring diversity. Don't be a copycat, be yourself, and realize that you're important to the body and other people in the body are important to you. And then, and be able to maturely interact in the stresses of life in a body of believers. And to use your gifts accordingly. And so if you think about where these passages on spiritual gifts occur in these books, Romans 12, you got a lot of foundational things you get to before you get to your spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, a lot of teaching and correcting before you get to your gifts. And then he has to spend two or three chapters kind of correcting them specifically on gifts. And then chapter 13, if you think about that in Corinthians, he says, we talked about gifts, but now I got to tell you the most important thing is love. And if you're focused on your gifts and your gifts and what you're doing and you're missing the good of other people and loving people, he said, your gifts aren't worth anything. It's just a bunch of noise. So that's what I mean. These gift lists are embedded in these very specific contexts. Ephesians 4, second half of the book of Ephesians. A lot of foundational things to be reminded of before you get to the gift list. 1 Peter 4, again, more than halfway through the book and we see the lists. So these gift lists are built on a full understanding. So what are barriers to using your gifts? Well, I think sometimes we think, man, it's going to be a commitment. That's going to be involved. I'm going to have to get involved. I don't want to really start something, then I kind of got to keep doing it. I don't want people to get expectations of me. You know, if I do something good once, then I could probably have to do it again. I kind of set the bar high for myself. I don't know about that. If you could please turn with me to Romans chapter 12. I want to look at some things as we look at these barriers to service. If you go to Romans 12. We even sang, some of the songs were about them this morning. So Romans 12, chapter 1. Verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. So if you're worried about commitment, your spiritual gifts are found in 6, 7, and 8. But before you get to verse 6, 7, and 8, he reminds you in verse 1, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Be committed. Live as a sacrifice and settle that commitment issue. And then your gifts follow from there. And then if you look down at Romans 12, 10, right after he tells you your spiritual gifts, he says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. And then he hits us with verse 11, do not be lagging in diligence. So commitment issues, he's like, work through your commitment issues. Don't be lagging in diligence, be fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. So right on the heels of your spiritual gifts, you see that. Or you may have feel like one of your barriers to using your spiritual gifts is time. And you may be saying, I'm so busy. My schedule's full. I've got a lot of things I need to do. I don't have time. Again, we come back to Romans 12, 1. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Kind of the same thing as a commitment issue. A time issue. Are you willing to commit your time? God has given you a gift. Are you going to take the time to use the gift? And Peter, you can turn there if you'd like to. I'll read it. But 1 Peter 4, 7. Right before he hits us with a couple verses on spiritual gifts, Peter tells you something about time. He says, the end of all things is near. He says, time's running out. Be serious and watchful in your prayers. Above all things, have fervent love for one another. You're going to have to make time for one another. What about people? People. Ministry would be easy if it wasn't for the people, right? So people And our attitudes towards people can be a barrier to using our gifts. We can say, well, people are so demanding. People have expectations. People are not appreciative. People don't really care. People are going to do what they're going to do, and things don't really make any difference. And Paul in Romans 12, 9 and 10 says, let love be without hypocrisy, in honor giving preference to one another. And Peter tells us, have fervent love for people in the body. And it doesn't say your favorite people. You also may have fear. What if I mess up? What if I try something and I mess up? What if I'm not very good? And I've tried things before, it didn't make much difference. Well, 1 Peter 4:11, which we've already looked at, but Peter reminds us, if anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability that God supplies. So it's not you just going out and trying to do something and messing up. It's just you trusting God and the ability that God has gifted you with. And I know my first attempts at evangelism were terrible. And sometimes we start small. And we learn a lot. We learn a lot from our first attempts sometimes at ministry. And other people may not learn, but we learn and then we grow. And then we're able to more and more be able to grow and minister. And Peter reminds us that fervent love covers a multitude of sins. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love people. Don't worry about you messing up. Love people. Another barrier to using your gift might be sin or troubles. You might say, I've got so much of my own troubles going on. I don't know. I don't know how I can serve other people. I've got so much going on me. I've got issues right now. And that definitely happens. And that's something that we will be talking about on future Sundays, how the Holy Spirit helps us to overcome sin in our life. And the Scriptures do tell us we can grieve the Spirit. So when we sin, then the Holy Spirit has to work on us instead of through us. And so we can see in future Sundays, we'll be covering that very issue. And we can just have a lot of trouble. So we can go through periods where maybe we're knocked out of commission. But God says, I've gifted you. I want you to use your gift. I want you to be in the game. I want you to be part of this building project. And we know that God says when we confess our sins, He's faithful to cleanse us from our sin and restore us back into fellowship. And then we can go from there and go forward with God in fellowship and walk with Him by faith. And yeah, many times we do ministry and we do it with a lot of things on our plate, or we do it with a lot of our own struggles. But God can supply the abilities. So let's look at what if for a minute. What if your gift is withheld from the body? We've looked at what your gift is designed to do. Now let's look at what things would look like if you don't put your gift into service, what might happen. So if you have the gift of service and you're withholding that, then the burden of work is going to fall on fewer and fewer people. And people's needs are going to go unmet. If you have the gift of teaching and you don't put it in to the body, people will not be informed of God's truth. People will not be challenged or convicted by the Word of God. The body will not grow. Error can creep in over time. And you can miss opportunities that you might have in your small groups or just your private conversations. your Sunday school lessons might become routine. You might just go through the motions if you're not really using your gift. If you have the gift of exhortation and you're not using it, then Bible truth, it just might kind of become good-sounding ideas or Christian platitudes. People will not be challenged. You will not be challenging people to trust God. The church can stop making forward progress and stagnate. And people are not being encouraged to trust God. Giving, if you have been given the gift of giving and God wants to use you to build His church through the gift of giving, the church can run out of funds. God's work can suffer. Opportunities can be missed for lack of funds. The church can basically kind of run out of energy. And then people who are hurting or have specific financial needs, those needs go unmet. If you have been given the gift of leadership, and again, it's not a title, it's just taking leadership and being able to direct things or direct ministries or your area of ministry, then there's not a discernible direction. People are not motivated or directed towards ministry. Or people just start working very independently instead of as a team. Or the church just goes into a very reactive mode and it just goes into crisis mode. If you have the gift of mercy and you're not using it, people are hurting and they don't get help. And hurting believers can become discouraged that God's not working. If you have the gift of faith and you're not using it, the church can stop really trusting God for things. If you have the gift of helps and you're not using it, individual people can fall through the cracks. If you have the gift of administration and you're not using it, then the church details, the budgets, the finances, the things of daily running the church start to fall by the wayside. If you have the gift of evangelism and you're not using it, then it's like the church doesn't care about the lost. And the Great Commission is not fulfilled. If you have been given the gift, not the office of pastoring, then you're not nourishing and protecting a group of believers, maybe in your small group, or a Bible study that you're part of, or a ministry that you're part of. So, where does that leave us? Your gifts are very important. God has given you specific abilities, supernatural abilities, to build up the body. And as a single mom, you may say, well, I don't have a lot of chances to build up the body as a single mom. Well, God has given you a spiritual gift or gifts, and you can use them in small ways. It doesn't have to be some big picture grand ministry. Be faithful in just the small things. And when your kids see you ministering to people, it is so good in building up your kids because they're watching you. And when they see you serving, even in small ways, they're seeing you serving the body of Christ. What about a young married couple? Super busy, don't have a lot of time. Same thing, just be faithful in the small things. And your kids see you doing ministry. And that helps them prioritize their thinking. Ministry is important. We care about people. And it can become a very great way to raise your kids. You can tell your kids to be this way and be this way, but if they see you doing ministry, then that can be very instructive. What about older married couples? We have a tremendous resource here, I think, of older married couples, particular strength of our church. And I think sometimes you can become weary in well-doing. We've been doing this for a long time. We've been faithful for a while. We're kind of tired, kind of ready for the next generation to take over. God says, do not be weary in well-doing. He wants to use you to build His church. Or maybe you've tried ministry and said, well, I didn't see a lot of results. Well, God doesn't call you to results. He calls you to use your gift. What if you've been serving a long time? Kind of the same thing. I've been serving a while. God says to Timothy, don't neglect the gift that is in you. Don't neglect it. He also tells Timothy, I remind you, Timothy, stir up the gift that is in you. Young believers, you're gifted too. And God wants you to use your gifts. And as you trust Him, you get involved in church, you learn, you come to Sunday school, you come to the Bible studies, you come to the youth program, you learn, God can use you. God wants to use you to build up the body as well. So in summary, God doesn't want us to be guilty of grand spiritual larceny, as Rick said, or spiritual fraud with intent to neglect. God wants to use you to build the church. He's uniquely gifted you to do that. So I'd like to close by reading 1 Peter 4:10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for what you've done in our lives. Thank you for how you've gifted us. And it seems amazing to us that you would use us. But we thank you, Father, that you do, and that you've given each of us as believers one or more gifts that we could serve you and serve others. Help us to do that, Father. Pray you'd encourage and challenge us in doing so. And that your body would be built up as we do so. And that you would receive the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.